Welcome to a case closed review from ReverseThieves.com. In these short podcasts, we discuss our final thoughts on anime that finished up in the most recent season.
This time, we are wrapping up Megalobox, which is from TMS Entertainment, which is streaming on Crunchyroll. And as we mentioned in the SWAT review, this is an anniversary project. It's sort of a reimagining of the very prestigious boxing anime Atasha no Joe, otherwise known as Tomorrow's Joe. Whereas that was kind of a very gritty street drama, very much in the Rocky vein. This is more of a future story of future boxing!
Megaloboxing. So in this world, instead of just fisticuffs, although we do see that a little bit underground, the new sport is to take it up a notch, take everybody's physicality up a notch by having these
pieces of powered armor, essentially, like muscle enhancements called gears.
And some people have them sort of almost like implanted, and then other ones, it's just something you kind of wear over top of your skin and you can take it off. But some, like the more advanced versions, are like grafted on. And the big company that's running this big Megalobox tournament, Shirato, is run by this woman, Yukiko, who is basically doing this kind of to show off her latest power armor and to sort of get investors. And her star is Yuri, who is the top boxing champ. And of course, we have our gritty underdog, Junk Dog, who comes from underground fighting, and his coach, who has them both involved with the mob and are in debt to them, and they're like throwing fights underground and really using his skills, you know, to make money for the mob.
And after a chance encounter where Joe and Yuri kind of have this confrontation, Joe's like, I'm going to see you in that Megalobox contest and we'll settle it there. Especially after Yuri confronts him, actually comes to an underground match and whips his ass. He's even like doubled down. He's like, nah, 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 nah. That might have been just casual talk. Now it's for real. I am going to get to this tournament and fight this guy in the ring.
You call him Joe, but of course, it takes a little while for him to choose his own name. He is kind of this nameless person. He has to take on a new identity in order to even try to get into the tournament because there's a strict sort of class system. And so he picks the name Joe for himself. And I think, you know, like that's, I feel like that sort of starts the, or shows kind of the core idea of like him wanting to take over his own life because he's really not been doing anything for himself, and he feels like so much freer and like more himself when he boxes and like really trains.
And yeah, I mean, you definitely get the feeling that he's in these fixed matches where he essentially gets paid to lose, but lose convincingly so that the mob guys putting money on the other guys can win big. But, you know, he wants to really win and lose matches because of his own skill, not take a dive and really push himself, see what he can be, not what he's forced to do.
And we have sort of a fraught relationship with his coach, who used to be very passionate about boxing and coaching, and then kind of gets down on his luck and ends up in this debt situation. And that's sort of where we find him at the beginning, and he's very cynical and he doesn't believe in Joe. And so it's almost, I feel like it's almost unclear at the beginning if he is going to be a hindrance. Or, you know, is Joe going to have to shake him off? Or is he going to, you know, is his attitude going to change over the course of the series?
I think you get the sense that the coach really wants to do better. It's just every time it comes to a choice of right decision that makes him sacrifice an easy decision that's lucrative, he eventually seems to always go towards the one that lets him off the hook and make some money. And you kind of get the feeling that he doesn't want to be that way, but can he overcome that kind of flaw?
But to be fair, he is threatened with violence from people who will do violence to him. I think it's not very easy to make the choice, especially as the series goes on, because when he starts making certain choices, there's consequences for those choices that are... I think a lot of people would have a hard time accepting.
I feel like, once again, everybody's kind of got their own demons, and that's his. That, like, essentially, has he made so many bad choices that he can no longer make good choices? Has he piled on so many sins? I mean, at the heart of it, this is a underdog. I mean, Junk Dog is not that far off from underdog story of kind of the Rocky story of young man. Can he go the distance, let alone win, when everything seems to be against him? The system, his matches, just his training. Like you said, he's from an underclass. Technically, he doesn't have an ID, so he shouldn't even technically be fighting in any of the matches, and they kind of fudge a lot of things along the way. Like, will that catch up to them is a big question. I mean, they're basically kind of bluffing and lying their way through all of this. Eventually, someone's going to catch on as they gain more popularity and attention.
I think that the series was, it felt of a different era, a lot of it. And we see that in the animation style, sort of the designs of the series, give it a purposeful look as if it's a bit vintage, which is such an interesting choice, because I think they could have done it without sort of, like, there's a fuzziness to the quality of this that makes it feel older. And I feel as though we see a lot more of, we will kind of use a retro design or vintage, like, design for the show, but it'll still be, like, slick and new. So I thought that was a very interesting choice.
I know a lot of people were upset, or at least a little perplexed, because they very deliberately made it at, like, you know, a 1080p, and then purposely retrograded it. So it's not even like it's an old style. And I'm just more clarifying on what you're saying, Kate. That, like, yeah, they purposely downgraded it so it looks like someone found an old 90s OVA. You know, I think some people really like that nostalgia factor.
Me, I love that.
I know a lot of people were like, man, I can't wait until the Blu-ray version comes out and I can see the real version that doesn't have that dumb filter on it.
I don't know. I mean, I just feel as though I liked their commitment to seeing the vision all the way through. I really appreciated that. And it didn't bother me at all.
I don't think it bothered either of us, because neither of us are, like, once again, video files who were like, I wanted to like this Blu-ray, but then I saw Dot Crawl and I had to throw it into the garbage because that's what it was. I think that says a lot. I feel like the people who complain the most are those people who really, really care about video quality, and thereby it's almost unthinkable to do that to them, because it's not even like they'll watch like a show from the 80s, but like, as long as the Blu-ray is the top quality, basically, I see the most high-definition version of that show from the 80s, they're fine. It's just kind of anything that is from peak is just unacceptable.
I think it showed a real artistic vision, and that's what I appreciated about it. And I find that to be more important, so...
And I think it's also important that it's never like, oh, it was so fuzzy, I couldn't tell what was going on, or like, I felt like it ever impeded with the flow of the story, or...
And it didn't feel as though it was there because they had to be cheap about something, you know, like, oh, we have to hide the flaws or anything like that. So I really liked that. And then I felt that even the storytelling itself, and the characterization just felt, it felt like a kind of a timelessness, even the kind of the vision of the future. It's not, it doesn't really take on a lot of the future. It's not, I don't know if it's fully making commentary about the future? A little bit, because we do have a class system, and there's definitely a have and a have-nots, but it just felt like it was... Something about it was simple, like very simplistic.
Mm-hmm. You know what's a great example, in my opinion, of what they wanted? It reminds me a lot of Cuphead, in that idea of, all right, here's this classic style that immediately marks it as something that is not modern, but let's take that aesthetic and really like lean into it for its strengths, but then use a lot of modern animation techniques and storytelling techniques to tell a story that can still connect and have the experience and wisdom of a modern age, but still kind of invoke that older feel. That's kind of what I feel like. If you see Cuphead, you understand what they're going for in Megalobox. Because it's really supposed to, you know, it definitely has that feel of like future sport that was so popular back in the day. It's not that you don't see it in the modern age, but it definitely has like the feel of like, what if we did cyberboxing?
And I also felt that way from the setting itself. The futuristic city with the outskirts that are very poor. Like, I feel as though when a lot of times when you see sort of I feel like a lot of like 80s anime, you know, kind of have that aesthetic too. And heck, this thing even has light trails from driving the motorbikes and stuff.
It definitely was that Akira aesthetic at times.
The story itself, I feel like, you know, is very straightforward. It's not, like I said, I feel like they don't go into a lot of
lore and stuff. Like,
or like supreme commentary about the have and the have-nots and the future world and things like that. I think it's more like a character-driven.
You know, every boxer has a gimmick. You learn pretty much what you need to know about all of them. Like, one of them fought in a war, and, you know, they don't go into too much detail about what that war was about. All you have to know is that he was a veteran, he was obviously scarred by it, and it affected him.
That one was dark! I mean, this series goes some pretty dark places for it to be a future boxing show, but that one I thought in particular was very, maybe that's the first time where it really cracks open and shows some of that heart that's really in there about the damage of a lot of these characters carry.
Yeah, but I feel like, I think the most important point is, you know, just enough about that war to know how it affected the character, but not really any more than that. And so, and like you said, you don't really know that much about the class system, what makes a person a citizen or not, and it's not really that important. You just have to know that that system exists, and what difficulties it makes with the characters, and what kind of compromises and deals they have to make to fake out that system. Not a mas, not a less.
Since we have mentioned, you know, that this is mostly focused on the sport, how did you find the fights, Al? What did you think of the boxing itself?
I think it was pretty good. I think they have a nice build-up of the, you know, who he's going to fight. And I feel like the fights are more accumulation of the story than anything else. Like, Joe doesn't really learn that many techniques or anything. It's less like Hajime no Ippo. It's more, you meet the fighter, you learn their story. Their story kind of has some effect on Joe. Joe kind of has to overcome that, some element of his character or some lesson he has to learn. And then he kind of learns it in the ring, or at least it is tested in the ring. And then he either wins or loses that fight. It's not that the animation is bad. It's actually very nice. But I feel, you know what it reminds me of? Utena duels in that way, of the more important thing is Joe confronting some kind of emotional or philosophical element than him outboxing the other guy.
Although I do think that Joe, you know, what Joe really brings to every match is all focused kind of on his spirit. His technique is basically that he can really take a lot of hits, that he has like a lot of stamina, and he can endure a lot of pain.
Which is actually the whole point of Rocky as well.
So I do think that, he, like you said, Al, he doesn't learn a lot of like new techniques, but he does sort of outlast is like the idea, is that like they, it's almost like the other boxer is fighting themselves, because they're always fighting against like something else, like something about their personality, or you know, like their own demon, and then Joe just like makes them sort of like grapple with it, and then they lose to Joe being still standing almost. But I mean, you know, not to say that he always wins or like that it's like magical or something, because I feel like there are very intense fights overall, and I don't think that the outcome is always predetermined from like what you know. There's surprises, I thought, throughout the season. What did you think of the end without revealing the end?
So I thought it was good. I enjoyed the road. I'm curious to see what other people think about the ending, and just because I wonder if certain people will feel let down.
I really liked the end. I thought it played with my expectations in a good way. It was definitely more than I was expecting from it. So I thought it was a good ending.
Yeah, I think it earns its ending. I think that it, you know, builds to a climax well, and then when it has that ending, I think it earned it. I'm just curious, once again, how much other people would say the same thing.
And it actually got an ending. So if you've been listening to many of our Case Closed reviews, we have a lot of feelings about this. Now, of course, they haven't announced a sequel or something for Megalobox, so they knew, you know, this was going to be it for them. So they were able to wrap it up in whatever.
We're not going to get Megalobox 2 Coach's Revenge.
I mean, anything is possible. But I did appreciate the sort of tying up. Although I did think it was interesting and somewhat strange how the corporation who makes gear, sort of like whatever was going on with that at the end, it almost felt like what we were talking about before, Al, where they did a good job of not really kind of bring in too much information about the world, and I thought, okay, mate, that's like a little too on the other side of whatever we're really doing here.
My theory is, since you brought it up, because I was actually randomly thinking about it from another direction, I think they really wanted to show how all of it affected, or more importantly, didn't affect Yukiko's plans. And I felt like that's why that stuff was there, to show kind of both sides of it, how in certain ways she was distinctly affected by what happened here, and in other ways how she's kind of such an iron character that parts of her personality and parts of her plans just are non-negotiable. Doesn't matter. These are things she has worked for, and these are things that are going to happen. I think that, in my opinion, that's why those scenes are there.
Right, my final thought about this show is the only real bad moment was that part when they had the kid rap. I was like, what is going on? Why are you doing
that? That was the weirdest thing.
That's the weirdest thing.
They have like one or two insert songs near the end. Although, yes, the kid rapping was the worst.
See, I don't... insert songs I'm fine with, but don't have the characters in the show singing them unless it's a show about music. Don't do that.
I think that was the most egregious one. It was just the one that made me then notice, like, when they did it two more times, and I was like, are we getting all these inserts? Like, if they had insert songs before that point, I would have just been like, ah, the rapping kid was the dumb one. But it was like, yeah, no. Like, my roommate was like, eh, you know, songs and montages are part of sports stuff. I'm like, no, this is a little different. This is a little different.
The only one that bothered me was the kid rapping. Just came out of nowhere. I was like, is this a musical? I didn't realize They really held that one back. It actually becomes a musical in the second half, guys.
When the news is coming, that was crazy.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to another episode. You can visit us online at reversethieves.com and follow us on Twitter @ReverseThieves, @NartakiRT, and @HisuiRT.